I don't wanna sing the latest song. I don't wanna percolate the crowd. I just wanna make you smile. I don't care who thinks I'm right or wrong. I don't care who tries to calm me down. I just wanna praise you now. You cover me in the midst of it all. You love me. You gave me another chance. You saw my needs when others saw my faults. You forgave me. I don't have to listen for my name. They don't have to walk me down the aisle. I just wanna make you proud. Should I make the Hall of Fame? Or they save a special seat? I just hope that you'll be pleased. You cover me in the midst of it all. You love me, gave me another chance. You rescued me. I was going to fall. You saved me. So in my life,
be glorified.
The glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just want to say, you get the glory,
you get the glory,
you get the praise, take all of the honor. I just want to say, you get the glory. I want you to get the praise.
You
take the
honor.
I just want to say, you get the glory. Father, you get the praise.
You
take the honor. I just want to say, I come back to say,
thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. 9:05, top of the hour. This is October the 2nd, 2017. This is your host for the App Dimension program on the Now Network. Your buddy, your boy, ADLG, in the place to be. You know what's up. Thank you all for joining on. Appreciate you, all my App Dimensionites. Hallelujah. This is the Apostolic Prophetic Training Hour, where we're poised and positioned to govern you, to guide you, and to ground you through the Word of God. Thank you again for coming on tonight. I've got so much in my spirit to talk about. First, I want to give thanks to my buddy, Pastor Edward. Hallelujah. Over there in the great state of California. Yay. I really appreciate Mr. Hamilton. He's doing a great work as it relates to social media. He's all over the place. So I'm appreciating that he allows me to use the platform that God has given to him to spread the gospel in my own way. And I want to thank God for you for making me a part of your Monday night evening. If you're listening on the West Coast, you're listening on the East Coast, you're listening international, wherever you're listening at, time to get at. Hallelujah. It's time to get at. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with one of my favorite topics, topic of the prophetic. Now, when we get into the prophetic, we got a lot of people that believe a lot of things. Some of it good, some of it bad. Unfortunately, we have to have discernment in this hour more so than we did in any other hour, so we can sift through the real and the fake, the authentic and the fabricated. I've always believed and always taught the way the Holy Spirit taught me. The best way to identify the authentic is to expose the fake. Come on. I wish somebody would listen to me tonight. The best way you're going to be able to identify anything that's true in your life, that's authentic in your life, whether it be the apostolic, whether it be the prophetic, whether it be the evangelistical anointings, the pastoral or the teaching, anything dealing with the fivefold ministry of grace, the best way you're going to be able to identify it is to expose the fake. Not too long ago, we've had a great fluctuation of people being, quote-unquote, activated in the prophetic. Some of these gatherings, I kind of questioned, had me a little concerned. Great leaders were doing these particular functions and had a great response to them. Let me say this first before I even go any further. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. I celebrate those men and women of God who have God has placed in their heart to get people stirred and advanced in the things of the prophetic. However, the danger of prophetic activation services is we end up activating cuckoo birds. We end up bringing people who have no local ministry to espouse themselves to. We end up raising up people and loosing people out in the streets that have no accountability factor. All they have to show for themselves is that I paid my $125 and I've given it to the man who has a name and influence and has a platform. And because I've given it to them, now I get the right to prophesy anytime to anybody I want. No, this is the danger. Some of these things, we don't need to be calling activation services, activated prophetic. We need to be calling them dispersing and divination. They're dispersing divination. They're spreading divination all over the nation and all over the world when we haphazardly lay our hands and put our names on people, places, and things that we have no accountability to. And now what happens in the interim is local pastors have to deal with that madness. They will have to deal with the fact that I come in and I stir these people up and I lay my hands on them and give them a gift and wake up a gift that they're not going to sit long enough to get taught and get trained in. And now I got to deal with it as a local pastor. Other pastors have to deal with the madness while these other leaders who've done all of this stuff just goes back to their little regions and takes the money and keeps on going. I'm not saying everyone is like that, but I'm sharing with you again the dangers of going to these types of services without one being sent by the Lord, without two being based in a local church, that you would not just become activated, quote unquote, but you would become accelerated in the knowledge and understanding of the things of God. Prophets are not made over a weekend. Prophets are not made during a conference or a campaign. Prophets are born into the earth with a message already infused in their livelihood. Hallelujah. So I'm excited tonight that we're going to be able to get into the nitty-gritty. Hallelujah, the nitty-gritty. And I pray that this message tonight brings some governance, brings some guidance, and some grounding to your life, that you might operate in the things that God has called you to operate in as it relates to the prophetic. Once I'm done my teaching, we're going to open up the phones. We're going to open up the lines for all those that are joining in. I know the lines are blowing up. This is a hot topic. We're going to open them up for people to ask questions and make comments concerning the taught lesson as it relates to purifying the prophetic. Purifying the prophetic. A few weeks ago, you know, the Lord put some things in my spirit concerning the prophetic, and I've been really feasting on them. You know, he added things that he's already imparted into me, and I just want to kind of share them with you. I did a teaching, this teaching before, months ago. I've been going throughout the country teaching about purifying the prophetic, because in this hour we're living in, we're seeing such an fluctuation of prophets and prophecy, whether it be the spirit of prophecy, whether it be the gift of prophecy, or what be the womb prophet or the official prophet, or the office of the prophet, as some would deem it and call it. But there's been an increase in these things, not because the prophet or the apostle is greater than any other fivefold ministry, but because there is a need for such a time as this. Whenever the Lord, I believe, magnifies or and heightens or enlightens a specific grace, it's for a purpose. The reason why we have so many apostles being ordained and released and affirmed, and so many prophets being affirmed and released, is because it's for such a time as this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 11 and 49 that it was the wisdom of God to release the prophets and the apostles, that they might avenge those that have gone before them. The apostles and prophets are released into a culture, into a generation, in order to combat certain spirits. Back in the 80s and the 60s and even in the 70s, we saw the evangelism paradigm. We saw the pastoral paradigm. And back in the 90s, we see everybody wanted to be a bishop or an archbishop or an overseer. Every generation has a spirit or a gifting that will heighten itself in the midst of them in order for them to function as a society and a people. And also to combat, most importantly, specific spirits. Now we see, if we look and we gauge in the spirit realm, we'll see what spirits that we're actually engaging in this generation called the 21st century church. And we're seeing bigotry, we're seeing prejudices, we're seeing people, we're seeing segregation, we're seeing economic failure. And what better grace to exemplify and engage and contend with the spirit of prejudice and economic failure than the apostles and prophets? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost even right now talking. When God released an apostle, he's trying to deal with the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age today that we're dealing with is a strong spirit of bigotry and racism and prejudice. When Paul began to engage Peter because of his prejudices, because of his bigotry, Paul did not slack his reins. He didn't care that Peter wore another title similar to his own. All he cared about was justice. All he cared about was Peter acting and doing what the word of the Lord is over his life, which is walking in a balanced life and walking in justice as an apostle. He didn't want him to be prejudiced. He didn't want him to name the name of the Lord and operate in something that was contrary to what he was preaching out of his mouth. We can't continue to live one way and then act another way when we're around different people. Oh, you want to sleep around with this Tom, Dick, and Harry over for 5 weeks, and then as soon as somebody with a white collar on and a bishop robe and a mitre and a cross hit and their life hit behind the cross comes around you, you want to act all religious. No, that's a religious spirit that is fueled by prejudice, by a prejudice that I can only act a certain way around certain people. We got to get rid of this chameleon spirit. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is through the apostolic, the prophetic. The prophetic is enlightened in this hour and raised up in this hour to show us what to do as a nation. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles, I believe, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, I believe it's First Chronicles, talked about how the sons of Issachar, 200 men, had the spirit of understanding upon them that as they began to release the word of the Lord concerning their generation, them as a nation knew what to do. They knew what to do. They didn't just prophesy to each other. They just didn't prophesy to one or two individuals. No, they had a word for the nation. Where are the prophets that's going to have a word for the nation, not some little nickel and dime store prophecies that's going to make people shuck and jive and shake and quake? No, we need a word that's going to govern us and guide us through Irma. Hallelujah. We need a word that's going to guide us through Matthew and Isaac. We should have known ahead of time when that earthquake was about to hit. We should have known before Irma came coming up the East Coast and coming from over in them islands with off the African coast where a mama watcher, that marine spirit, has been activated somehow through witchcraft prayers and seances, sending that foolishness over here to America. But our prophets were so bogged down with economic injustice. We were so bogged down with our own cares and affairs and our own jealousies and prejudices. We were so busy prophesying for Christ, we got snuck in our jaw. We got punched in our liver. And now we're bleeding. We're bleeding profusely. And it's only going to take a true prophet, only going to take a true apostle, that's going to get rid of this spirit of racism that is inside of our nation, and a true prophet that's going to bring balance to our economic society as a whole. We're going to be able to learn how to govern ourselves during famine, govern ourselves during lack and lean. Come on, Joseph was a prophetic dreamer that had an anointing for stewardship. And God began to give him prophetic insight concerning Egypt, a place that already meant bondage. The spirit of famine went into the land and gripped up Canaan, the promised land, where all of his family were, and no one could eat or sleep or drink because they were so bogged down with hunger and thirst. But God sent a little boy named Joseph, and the scripture said, behold, the dreamer cometh. Where are the dreamers? Where are the prophets that are so pure in their dream state that they can see the devil afar off and not see their own issues? Oh, God, and not be clouded with a cloudy forecast in their own mind because they're so busy trying to do what they want to do instead of hearing what God says in his council room. We're going to talk tonight about purifying the prophetic. Some months ago, I was preaching in, I believe, Jacksonville, Florida. Thank God for all my Jacksonvilleites over there, whoever's on the line. Pray for you, pray my strength in the Lord. But we was praying, and I was teaching on a message called Mental Madness. And I was exposing the mental illness in the body of Christ. I talked about bipolarism. I talked about double-mindedness. I talked about schizophrenia And it saddens me to know that so many believers are mentally ill. And I'm going to tell you why they're mentally ill. They're mentally ill. They coop the boot. They ain't got it all together. They're not rat tight. They're two sandwiches short of a picnic basket. They're crazier than a bag of cash chasing one mouse. Why? Because they have been encountering false prophets and false prophecy. False prophecy and false prophets come to make you lose your mind, come to make you confused, make you have a cloudy forecast on what God has already told you. And they come to scatter and shatter and break your soul. And this is why we have so many coop-de-boot people in the body of Christ, because we have been listening to false prophets and we have not been taught how to identify them. And tonight is my endeavor to give you some points and to give you some understanding on how to discern a pure prophet. And the best way, again, as I said before, to discern the authentic is to dismantle or reveal the fake. One thing we want to learn about a false prophet, we want to learn that false prophets are usually prophetic renegades. They're usually those people or those ones who are prophesying, but they wasn't sent by God. They're with ones and not sent ones. They're speaking, but God did not speak. They're trying to lead people to themselves. You can find this in Lamentations. Chapter 3 and verse 37, you can find this in Jeremiah 14 and 14. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, I did not send them. They're renegades. If you check their track record, they're connected to nobody. They're just a nobody trying to prophesy to everybody about somebody that can save nobody. They're not prophesying according to the word of God. Their word has no attachment to Jesus. The Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. But we got all of these prophets speaking and giving utterance to people that have no connection to God. They have no relationship with a source that will give them a pure word and keep them walking according to the word of God to bring that word into fruition. We have false prophets. We have prophetic renegades, those who prophesy but were not sent by God. They have a gift. Matter of fact, they have a false gift, the Bible says, in the book of Proverbs. It said their gift is false because they're clouds with no water. They have thunder and lightning. They make a lot of noise, but they produce no rain. Uh-oh, I think I might be getting somebody mad right about now. When's the last time that you saw your prophecy come to pass? You still holding on to false prophecy. You still holding on to pipe dreams. You still holding to a prophetic liar, a pathetic liar who spoke something to you back in 1987, and you still got your hope built on nothing less than something that Jesus didn't shed his blood for, and his name and his righteousness is not even attached to it. But you still believe based on what you think the prophet has said to you because you think that God has said it. But God is telling you tonight, I didn't say it. That's why it didn't come to pass. 1 Timothy chapter 1, thank the Holy Spirit. I believe around the 17th, 18th verse, Paul said to Timothy, I want you to war a good warfare with the prophecies that were set over your life. How can you war a good warfare with something that God did not say? And this is what a prophetic renegade does. He shoots inside your spirit a word that God did not say and have you spinning your wheels trying to look for it to come to pass and warring with devils with a word that God did not even speak. This is why a lot of us is going through warfare over after warfare after warfare after warfare and coming up with no spoils. How you got so much warfare and never come out with no wealth? You got more storms than you got spoils. How is that so? Because you're fighting and you're contending with devils with a word that God didn't even speak. but because you don't want to get a relationship with God, and we don't want to get and sit in his council room long enough so God could check us from the neck up and tell us, no, I did not speak that. We don't want the truth. We want what Jeremiah said. Come on, hallelujah. The word of the Lord said in the book of Jeremiah, they said, prophesy unto us smooth things. Prophesy unto us lies. We don't want the truth. You don't want the truth, so God continues to allow that lying prophet, that lying renegade to invade your life. Somebody needs to repent tonight. Purifying the prophetic means getting rid of all of the prophetic renegades, those who will not sit by God, standing up and confronting these spirits, standing up and confronting these leaders, and you know that God didn't send them. You know they prophesying something off, and you'll sit right in the midst of the service and won't stand nothing. You feel the unction of the Holy Ghost telling you to stand up and rebuke the devil that's holding that microphone, but you'll sit there out of fear. You'll sit there out of despondency and despair because you don't think nobody going to believe you because you got to let that devil put a muzzle over your mouth. But I rip it off tonight, and I take that bit off your mouth that every time you come in the midst of a false prophet, the Holy Ghost will begin to rise up in you, and you begin to say, no, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You begin to rebuke those things that God did not say. Come on here. There are so many people that are sitting in the audience right with you waiting for somebody to tell them the truth. But we'd rather hear prophetic renegades. We want to deal. Another thing we need to purify is this prophetic idolatry. You can find this in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and Micah 3, 11. Those who give words to draw people to themselves and other gods. They're not trying to draw people to God. The purpose of a prophet is to bring people back to God, not to themselves. When is the last time you read in the Bible where prophets were so popular that they had masses of people following after them? That people were running from the prophets. Come on, Samuel, have you come to trouble us? Have you come to torment us before our time, Jesus? No, we got more friends than enemies when it comes to the prophetic. Why? Because we're given a word that God did not say based on the people who don't want God. But the prophet's job, main and the main job of a prophet is to bring a lost people back to a God that can help heal them. You don't even hear repentance in the prophet's message. When's the last time you sat in a prophetic gathering and you saw somebody repent? I'm not talking about coming up and going through the motions and throwing up and rolling around on the floor. That's just manifestation. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about rending our hearts and not our garments. And that's what a prophet does. A prophet brings in repentance and brings people that are lost from God and brings them guidance on how to find them. But we got too much prophetic idolatry. These are the things that are blocking up the true prophetic vessels of the Lord. This is why we can't see earthquakes coming. We can't hear. We don't have our ears to the ground. We can't see the tornadoes. We can't see the hurricanes. We can't see the terrorists. Those people over in South Carolina, those 9 people that lost their lives, those 4 or 5 people that just lost their lives over in the church over in Tennessee. All these people shouldn't have lost their lives. They shouldn't have lost their lives if a prophet was on post. I was looking at the news the other day, and a young African-American man went into his job and told his boss he quit and is not coming back. He took a gun and a couple of other weapons and went over to the church and killed somebody in the parking lot and made his way into the church. But thanks be unto God, an usher was on his post and saw that spirit coming into the church and tackled that demon and caused life to be ensued in that church. Come on here. Somebody had a prophetic eye and wasn't worried about bringing people to themselves. Prophetic idolatry deals with people who give words that want to draw others to themselves and to their gods. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5 said that they would dream dreams and they would speak words, and those words and those dreams will come to pass. The Bible didn't call them a false prophet. The Bible didn't call him a false dreamer. He said they will come to pass. They will dream dreams that will come into manifestation. But God is allowing those things to happen all because he's trying to see what you are going to do. Are you going to follow after that prophet and his God, or are you going to follow after Christ and him crucified? We got to get rid of that prophetic idolatry. We got to get rid of the prophetic divination, Acts 16 and 16, those who operate through demonic inspiration. Yo, God, that was so accurate. They so accurate. God didn't say nothing about accuracy. Prophecy was never to be judged on accuracy. It's to be judged whether God said it or not. Point blank, period. The devil can be accurate. These are holy men of God, come to show the way of salvation unto men. That was an accurate word, but it came from an impure source. It came from the spirit of Python. It came from Pythos. It came from a male snake spirit that slithered its way through the Lord of the Openings, Baal Peor, and spoke out of a young damsel's mouth who was bringing her masters much gain. And it vexed Paul in the spirit to the point where he turned around, and the Arabic Bible says he evangelized her. He cast the devil out and won the soul. When's the last over a prophetic word that you knew it was not from the Lord? No, you can't get vexed. We can't get vexed as a people because we're too busy amen, and we're too busy agreeing. We don't have discernment. We don't do what the book of John tells us to do, which is to try the spirit to see if it's of God. How do we try the spirit? We try the spirit by the spirit. If I got the same spirit that the false preacher got or the false prophet got, I'm not going to try anything. I'm going to be in agreement. How can two walk together except they already be agreed? Come on, Amos 3 and 3. There has to be some type of contention, some type of vexation in our spirit in order for us to speak those things that be not as they were, and speak against those things that the enemy is speaking through the mouths of false prophets. And we need to come up against them and contend with them with courage, with boldness. We like being validated by demons. We like being validated by the demonic. We like being told that we look good and we smell good, and God is about to bless us with this and bless us with that. But nobody wants to hear repentance. When a vessel, a false prophet, is being led by divination, you'll never hear anything about repentance. You'll always hear about carnality. You'll always hear worldly things. You'll always hear what God's about to do. Your God is a procrastinator. The false prophet's God is a procrastinator. He's always getting ready to do something. God is about to do this. He's getting ready to do that. They have no stability. Their God has no manifestation. They have no connection with God. They have no connection to the true and living God. All they have is a relationship with dumb idols who can't even give them any type of clue of when this is going to happen. All they can give them is generic prophecy. And you got to make up your own opinion. You got to make up your own reasoning and your own explanation of why the prophet said what he said. No, a prophet, a true prophet who is dealing with divine inspiration instead of demonic inspiration, a true prophet is giving you the word of the Lord. He's giving you revelation. He's giving you instruction, and he's giving you a conclusion to the matter. He's going to reveal to you what the Lord said. He's going to give you an instruction on how to complete what the Lord said, and he's going to give you the conclusion of what is going to happen if you take heed and do the instruction to what God showed you. If a prophet is not giving you revelation, instruction, and inclusion, if Rick is not coming through the door, Rick, the acronym, revelation, instruction, and conclusion, if you do not get that through a prophet, I need you, ma'am, sir, to question. I need you to question that prophecy. I need you to take it before the Lord. Stop letting these other what I call prophetic parrots and plagiarists and shoplifters steal your blessing. They stealing other people's words and giving you their word and making it like God spoke it to them. That's another reason why the prophetic is so dirty, because we got so many prophetic parrots, so many prophetic plagiarists, And so many prophetic shoplifters, they steal other people's words and try to take credit for them. God didn't speak it to them. They speak it as their own. But little did they know, they don't inherit the blessing of that word. They inherit the curse. Jehazi tried to get a blessing off of a word that Elijah spoke to King Naaman, captain of the host. And because he tried to shoplift that word, the spirit of leprosy came upon him, and not just on him, but his entire generational line from that day forward was stricken with leprosy, and to their skin turned white. This is what I'm saying to you prophetically. Hear my voice. If you prophets out there are stealing other people's words, you're not going to be connected to the blessing of that word. You're going to be connected to the curse of it, because you know God didn't speak it to you. You know God didn't tell you to say it. Somebody else said it. Another man or woman of God said it. But you've been shoplifting on Facebook. You've been shoplifting on Snapchat and Twitter. And you've been getting other people's words that they've been sitting in God's counsel and getting his face and receiving the word of the Lord in fresh downloads. And you take your nonchalant self and you go in their Facebook pages and you steal. And you put your name on it, trying to make people follow after you like you're some wonder. But God is going to get you. I'm here to tell you, God is purifying the prophetic. He's getting rid of the parrots. And God did not one prophet sound alike. All the prophets, whether it was a major prophet, minor prophet, all of them sounded different. Jeremiah didn't sound like Isaiah. Isaiah didn't prophesy like Daniel. Daniel didn't prophesy like Ezekiel. Ezekiel didn't prophesy like Amos. Nobody prophesied alike. Now all we see is prophetic cloning. Everybody sounds the same. It's like an assembly line. Personally, I believe and teach that prophets can and do learn from one another. We can do that. I can't teach you how to prophesy, but I can teach you about the prophetic. How you prophesy deals with your character, deals with your personality. I can't teach you that. I can only teach you and give you insight about the prophetic call or the prophetic gift as in this entirety or in its whole. But I can't teach you how to prophesy. Anybody that claims to you that they can teach you how to prophesy or try to make you prophesy like them is not a prophet at all. As I've stated many times over, I believe we, again, can teach people about the prophetic, but not how to prophesy. The Holy Spirit's responsibility on how the utterances should be released through those particular individuals. You can find this in Acts 2 and 4, Romans 8, 26 through 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Each prophetic voice has their own message, has their own assignment, and their own personality. I should not be sounding like John Eckhart. You should not be sounding like Ryan LaStrange. You should not be sounding like Axel Sapop. You should not be sounding like Cindy Trim. God knows you shouldn't sound like Juanita Bynum. You shouldn't be sounding like Jinx. You should be sounding like Bobby. You should be sounding like Susan. You should be sounding like yourself. But because we have not raised up prophets to walk in their own identity, we won't challenge that mimicking spirit. We have clones instead of Christ-likeness. I was watching the animal show the other day, and it blessed my heart. The wacky brothers, they called, and the wacky brothers talked about a little word called mimicry. And they talked about how certain animals look like other animals, but they don't have the same characteristics. They talked about a fly that looks like a bee. They talked about a snake that looks poisonous, but not poisonous. These animals that operate in mimicry, they look dangerous, but they're not dangerous at all. Uh-oh, I think you need to catch the revelation on that. You look like a prophet. You wear your prayer cloth and your tallit like a prophet, but you don't You're not dangerous in the spirit at all. Your word carries no weight. Your word carries no reward. You're not a prophet. You're a psychic. You're in mimicry. They said, do you know a cheetah can sound like a bird? Do you know a cheetah has five different types of chirps that it sounds like a bird? Do you know that every cheetah has a different spot and their patterns are different? They don't have the same stripes that a tiger has. A giraffe has different spots. Everything is designed that way so we can make a difference, so God can make a difference, so we can see and be accounted for in our individuality. My job as a leader is not to make you make my name great through you. It's to make God's name great through you. I'm not trying to make my name greater. I'm trying to make God's name greater. My job is to help you do greater works, not just put my name and get you to sound like me, look like me, act like me. Granted, we're going to have some DNA like our spiritual mothers and fathers. That's a whole nother topic. We're going to get on that one Monday. But my identity should not overtake yours. I should enhance your identity, not overtake it, not steal it. Many prophetic voices have lost their prophetic identity because they have been cloned on a religious assembly line and not trained by the Holy Spirit. So you go to these prophetic activation services, and you get taught the same refurbished information, repackaged information, stuff that somebody else already said, and they put a new cover on it, or they put a new song to it, and you still dancing, and you still shouting, and you still falling out, and you don't have nothing to show for it. You don't got no money. You don't got no anointing. You barely go to church. All you can say is this will lay hands on me. That will lay hands on me. Oh, Apostle Gaskin spoke a word over my life. If that word over your life that I spoke is not causing you to go to Jesus, then I'm a false prophet. Then I'm a false leader. If you go into the prophet more than you go into the throne, you infiltrated, baby. You infiltrated, ma'am, sir. I'm sorry. Then we got to clean out the prophetic, dealing with these prophetic preemies. Prophetic preemies are the deal with immaturity. Deuteronomy 18:20-22 talks about those who prophesy presumptuously or prematurely on a continuous basis. You might not be a false prophet, but you speak a false prophecy. That means you spoke it out of time or out of season. Maybe spoken to the wrong person. You don't know what you're really looking at. Come on, Jeremiah chapter 1. You ain't really been trained. Before God sent Jeremiah out at the tender age of 17, before he sent him out to do something and to speak the word of the Lord, the first thing he asked him is, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah had to prove that he saw the Lord's word accurately before God would even take him to the next step. Before he could even give him the full prophecy, the revelation, instruction, and conclusion, Jeremiah had to tell God, I see an almond tree. I see an almond branch. I see it budding. He said, very well, very good. You said well, Jeremiah. Tell me what you see now. I see a seething pot, Lord, coming from the north. Jeremiah understood what he saw God say. But we have no understanding. So we prophesy off. Because we haven't sat in God's presence long enough, we feel a little glitch in our spirit, or we see a picture, or we feel an impression, or we hear a voice, and we don't know who's speaking to us, or something said. We don't know who's speaking to us, or who's showing us these things. We haven't sat in God's counsel to really listen to what he's saying, because we're prophetic preemies. So we end up prophesying presumptuously. I remember I got sat down when I was growing up in church and being raised up as a young prophetic voice. I spoke to a young man in the service. I pulled him up out of the service, out of the congregation. I brought him to the front of the church, and I told him what thus said the Lord. Right person, right word, wrong delivery, wrong time. Guess what? It hurt that young man. It hurt that young man. It damaged him. He left the church. And then my pastor back then sat my behind down. How you know? I want you to know, you still, God still speak to you even though you're sitting down. I couldn't speak nothing. I couldn't tell no dreams. I couldn't interpret nothing. I had to sit there and hold it, everything that God was saying, because I was being subject to the spirit of a prophetic preaching. Thank God the young man finally came back to church. He got over his church hurt, got over his rejection, got over the word. I apologized to the young man. I said the right word. I said it to the right person, but it was the wrong time to deliver it. It was the wrong place to deliver it. I could have pulled him to the side. I could have spoke to him in the ear. But no, I got to say it all in the mic so everybody can hear. Why? Because I want all eyes on me. I need you to hear me, saints. It's some words you don't need to be speaking. It's some words these prophets don't need to be speaking to individuals in the house of the Lord. They're trying to steal the glory from God. God gave them a word for a corporate word for the church and told them to shut up. But because the corporate word made everybody dance and shout, now they're moving in their flesh in their soulless arena. Now they got to prophesy to everybody when God didn't tell them to. So now they're prophesying presumptuously out of their emotions. Prophets use all of the above mentioned tactics to fragment the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions, resulting in mental, physical, and financial damage and bondage, causing total dependency on the false prophet and their system of rule. So once you get encountered by a prophetic parrot, a divinator, an idolater, a renegade, a plagiarist, a prophetic clone, all of these people, all of these prophetic, false prophetics, engage us to cause our soul to become fragmented. And this is why we see so much mental illness in the house of God. We need some prophetic purifiers. We need prophets who will release the judgment of God into the earth. The truth. Do you understand? The more prophets refuse to speak the truth against error and sin, the more lawlessness increases, and the earth will then have to defend itself. Come on, earthquakes. Come on, tsunamis. Come on, hurricanes and tornadoes and rain. The earth is defending itself because the sons of God will not manifest. The true prophets will not stand up and purify the prophetic. The prophets' mouths are being shut. The prophets' mouths are being controlled by muzzles and bits of seduction and bribery. Money is their god. Seduction and sex is their goddess. And they're causing all this influential of the demonic to infiltrate the church. But God is raising up true prophets. He is raising up true vessels of the Lord that's smashed and smeared with honor and put a fresh oil, a horn of oil on their head, a new decree in their mouth, and they're not afraid to go against the grain. They're speaking in and declaring with boldness that thus saith the Lord, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, lest your works, you be found dead in your works and you die in hell and go to hell in your sin. This is what the true prophets are worried about. They're worried about people's soul, not worried about how many people can hit the like button, no matter how many
hearts
you can get. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. There is something that God is trying to do on this line tonight inside of you. He's stirring up a righteous indignation inside of you that you begin to speak what thus saith the Lord, that you begin to contend with the contender. You'll begin to resist the resister. You'll begin to shut down. There'll be prophetic confrontations, the Jeremiahs against the Hananiahs. You'll come in like a tsunami and say, no, that was not the Lord. And you begin to break that thing down in the spirit realm, and you begin to declare what God said to be true. Prophets are prophetic judges in the earth.
Hey!
And if you remove a judge, all the lawlessness is going to come into the earth and cause all kinds of havoc. Our prophetic courts have become corrupt. God has a remnant that will contend and conquer this corruption if we yield to him. The prophetic purifiers that are being released in this hour are sent to clean out the judicial system of Christ's kingdom that have sold themselves out for a piece of tail and a price of power and fame. You rather have sex than speak what thus saith the Lord. This is how I know that you're not a prophet. You're a prophet. The office of a prophet is a priest. The office of the prophet is the priesthood. And the priesthood, what made a priest, is the fact that they knew how to get in God's presence. One. Two, they knew how to sacrifice. I know you're not a prophet because you don't know how to make a sacrifice. When's the last time you gave up Facebook? When's the last time you gave up masturbation? When's the last time you gave up yourself, your self-image? You're not a prophet because you don't know how to sacrifice. You can't even get in God's presence. Only a true prophet can do that. You can't even get in God's presence without dropping dead. We got to purify the prophetic. We got to really understand that it's the hour. In this hour, we need true prophets to rise and stand up against this foolishness. I'm going to give you a couple more points on how to identify some false prophets. We're going to push right through this, and then we're going to take some time out for some questions and comments. Another thing that you want to recognize, write this down. The power behind false prophets is an acronym called MSD, money, sex, and drugs. Money, sex, and drugs. False prophets are governed by money, sex, and drugs. Whenever a false prophet comes into a region, the first conduit they're going to connect with is either money, sex, or drugs. That's how they get into the region. There's an addiction to them. I'm talking about, how are you a prophet and you smoke marijuana? You're not prophesying by the Spirit of God. You prophesying by Mary Jane. Do-do-do-do. Mary Jane. Oh, music break. You're in love with Mary Jane. She's popping the sign, the same thing. Yeah, you're in love with Mary Jane. Do you, do you, do you, do you, do you? And you calling it the Spirit of God. God did not speak that to you. The crack spoke it to you. You're having sex with every other person that should come along with, male and female. Come on, Eli's boys. Eli's boys. It was having sex with the women as they entered the temple of the church. Samuel's boys. They were seduced by money where they couldn't even judge right because they would take bribery. You bribe, the people bribe you with fame, they bribe you with fortune, they bribe you with influence. You won't tell the truth because you're afraid to lose friends. You won't tell the truth because they're bribing you with their clout, with their ability to get you in the inner circle. You a yes ma'am, you a yes sir. You don't want to tell the truth because you're afraid to lose your credibility. You're afraid to lose your not be a part of the inner crowd. They're ran by money, greed, filthy lore. Micah 3:11, Acts 16:16, 1 Timothy 6:3-10. They're ran by sex, fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, whoredom, prostitution, sexual perversion. Romans 1:1-32, Jude 3-8, Revelation 2:20. The Bible says Jezebel called herself a prophetess, but she taught them how to have sex. She taught them how to rebel. But all she got in return was a bed of sickness and dead children. That's why your ministry can't take off. That's why everything around you died. That's why everything that is connected to you has a spirit of lust on it, because you receive the word from a prophet that is connected to a sex throne. Drugs, pharmakia, addictions, marijuana, cocaine, alcohol. You got a Simon of sorcerer and a Simon of enlightenment spirit. These were the kingpin drug dealers in the book of Acts. They had the spirit of addiction. They used sorcery. They cast spells on people. And sorcery is just not incantations with words. They use spices. They use spells. They use drugs. They use medicine to incorporate their demonic incantations and keep you in track and keep you enslaved. A lot of these false prophets are using neuro-linguistic programming. They're hypnotizing you. They're keeping you in prayer, and they're keeping you and your soul all jacked up and riled up all hours of the night until you can't even resist their incantation. And next thing you know, you got that spell, you got that googly eye all over your face, and you taking your money and laying it up all on the altar. And then you crying because your lights is cut off, and they going to their mansions, riding home in their Benzes, and you still pushing a bus pass because you just got bamboozled by a drug addict. You help that drug addict supply its own get high. MSD is always involved in the lives of those who operate in divination. MSD empowers the false prophet, which in turn offers payment to their familiars for more information and accuracy. False prophets are nothing more than witches and warlocks or divinators coming and going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for his name's sake, Jesus said, for his name's sake, he's given us righteousness for his name's sake, not our name's sake. God's name is on the line. Jesus' name is on the line. So for righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake, we need to get our act together. Because Christ's name is the one that's being looked at here. When somebody sees a leader that is off, the first thing they're going to think, they're not going to question you. They're going to question your God. They're going to question who sent you. Once a person has been infiltrated by a false prophet, the desire for MSD starts and or increases, and their desire for Christ and his ways diminishes. When you see these fruits, disconnect from them. Whenever MSD is in the midst of you, whenever a false prophet's in the midst of you, whenever a prophetic vessel is not purified, the things of the world increase and the desire for God decreases. It causes you to chase after them and for you to disconnect from God. So we need to purify the prophetic. I'm praying tonight that these words begin to shine some light upon you, that you be able to reassess your own prophetic words. I need you to get in the spirit realm and lay your words before God and say, okay, God, did you really say this? Because if you didn't really say this, if God didn't really say it, you need to disconnect from that thing. You ain't hear nobody telling you to evaluate your prophecies and disconnect from a thing coming to pass. They keep telling you to wait. Just wait, baby. Wait on them a little while longer. I've been waiting 50 years for this prophecy. Come on, Daniel. The Bible said Daniel understood by the books. He understood Daniel chapter 9. He understood by the books of Jeremiah. He knew Jeremiah was a true prophet, and he knew that Jeremiah said that this prophecy was going to come to pass after the children of God start gathering together after the 70 years, and it had not come to pass yet. And based on that prophecy, Daniel said, wait a minute, let me get into the presence of the Lord because it's taking too long for this prophetic word to come to pass. And God saw of Daniel before he even bent his knee and sent an angel to give him the word of the Lord and let him know what's going on. And then the heavens began to open up through the prayer and the fasting of Daniel. And Daniel saw there was a war in heaven, and that war in heaven dealt with Persia fighting against Gabriel, trying to get that message down to Daniel and saying, this is why the prophetic word is held up. But Michael, the archangel of war, came and helped and gave assistance to Gabriel, and he was able to get the word through. But Daniel had to have the wherewithal to know that the prophecy should have come to pass by now. When are you going to understand that the word should have come to pass by now? How come you ain't seeking God about it? How come you ain't asked God, is this really from him? Because you want to believe a lie rather than the truth. We want to roll with the big boys. We don't know when to hold them. We don't know when to fold them. We don't know when to walk away. We don't know where to run. You better count your prophecy before you let it sit on your table. There's been time enough to count it and discern it when the prophecy's done. I know that's not the gambling song, but you get the gist, people of God. It's 10 o'clock on the hour. October 2nd is the date. You're here with the At Dimension program with yourself, myself, ADLG, bringing you governing guidance and grounding through the word of God. Thank you so much for allowing me to minister these words to you. I hope that you have taken light to it and apply it where it needs to be applied. This session was recorded, so we'll have it so you can listen back to it. At this time, I want to open up the phone lines for any comments or questions about the prophetic.
I have a comment.
Thank you.
I have a comment.
Yes.
I have a comment. I repent of anything that I missed. I repent of anything that got by me. Oh Lord, forgive me. I repent because that word is not condemning. It is confirmating. Come on, I'm making up a word tonight because I have confirmation that it's taking me to another level to say you're right on it. Confirmation comes by the word of God. And it comes by like-minded believers believing in one another and knowing it's assignment time. It's time to get on assignment to whatever your fivefold is or to whatever it is. You know, I don't even like to call the titles of my brother. I just like to say if you do the work, I don't need a title. Yeah. I don't need an ordination. I just can do the work. And God will provide all the other things that he has to come. But, man, you hit it so much. This manifestation of the Holy Spirit here on the network is dynamic for me because I'm growing and it's allowing me to see differently. Even when we say we know the word, and I know I do because I study. I know I know the word, but to now get new revelations of confirmation because, you know, you get deep in that and you say, well, man, am I on it? Am I on it? No, listen to the word. You'll get confirmation to the word. We want to open up the line tonight. Anyone who wants to, if you have a question, the first person that could dial one tonight is that person that may just be on this line that doesn't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Come on in. We have a green room. We can talk to you live. We want to give you the nuggets you need to now start your life again. But if someone else would like to get into this conversation, come on, dial one right now. And let me bring you into the App Dimension with Apostle Dietrich. Good evening. 562 last 42213. I think this is Minister Carolyn. How are you, woman of God?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey,
yes,
Pastor
yes,
E.
Oh,
yes,
hey,
this
Wanda.
This is Wanda. Hey,
you
how you doing?
You guys got the same
there
last four numbers. You get me every time.
Okay. This the same last number, but, oh, wow, that was a fine. Oh, Lord, that was that message I needed to hear it where I was, and it was just wonderful. I just think everything, it hit every note right then and there that I needed to hear. You know, it's like a wake up, and I will listen to a replay so I can get anything I missed.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening in. I appreciate you.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
God bless.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you so much. Come on.
Right.
Anybody else, dial one. Come on. It's your conversation. Bless the man of God tonight. Error code 540, last 41342. You are live on the App Dimension with Apostle Dietrich. Air code 540, last 41342. You're live on. Good evening. How are you?
Hi. My name is Cheryl Robinson. I'm sorry. I was on mute. I was listening to the program, and this is my first time realizing that this was even a program. And I was really, really, really just blessed by the message. I'm always blessed by the apostles' messages. I've seen him in person, and but this is the first time just really listening to him on the telephone or on the radio. And I just want to say that I am blessed, and I'm glad to know that there's something that'll be coming on the first Mondays of the month, and glad to hear it. Glad to get the revelation of some things, and just glad to know that God is using him mightily in this last day, and just want to say thank you.
Bless
Amen.
You, Cheryl. God bless you, sis. I love you. Tell your husband I say hello.
I surely will, and thank you so much for your sacrifice, and thank you for your many blessings.
Well, if
no
you're ever if you're ever just looking for something on a Monday night, the Now Network, we are 7 days a week, and following Mondays we have a broadcast called Let's Talk Jesus. Come on, listen in, same time next week. And we have plenty of shows here, just to get my plug in tonight, that you can come by and Let's Talk Jesus. It's just that we can talk about Jesus and learn how to really grow together on one accord, but. The app dimension gets us ready for the rest of the month.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so very much for that.
Amen.
And God bless you both.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Apostle, minister, pastor, doctor, Sir Ryan Davis, you're live on the app dimension with Apostle Dietrich.
Oh, praise God. You know, I don't do titles, bro, but God bless you.
I just wanted to throw that. That's me. I threw that out there tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? So
leave it at that. Come
on now. I just wanted to say that was a blessed word, man of God. I don't know you, but thank you for putting that out there, and may God continue to use you.
Thanks, man of God. Appreciate you listening.
Amen.
Amen. Minister Sir Ryan, he does our Sunday broadcast, Exalting Jesus, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 Eastern every Sunday. Exalting Jesus, mighty man of God. Pastor Dwayne out of Madison, Wisconsin. Good evening, man of God. How are you?
Man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man. I like the message. This message has been circling for the last 50 years, but people don't hear the message. That's the problem. They don't hear the message. Man of God said something that when I gave my life to Christ, some things that happened. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about how they was bewitched. And bewitched means that, you know, you have to put stuff in people's drinks, you know, because they've been using this hallucinist back in Genesis. You know, you go back in the Bible.
Yeah.
Using it. He said that. Because, you know, now you got a lot of folks coming prophetic, you know, then they want to come out. Now you got more prophets than you have even pastors, you know. And so, like you said, every 5 or every 10 years, that's different manifestation. You had the evangelists was the, you know, they was out, you know. Then that trades over. Then you came a lot of pastors. Then that went down. Then you came with a lot of bishops. Now that has deceased. Now you got a lot of prophets. You got a lot of prophets. You got a lot of apostles. You know, you got chief apostles and all that. And so he said the key thing: if Jesus don't be lifted up, then you falling, get high for your own supply. What I mean, don't get high for your own supply.
Okay,
you
come
get,
on, sir.
You well. Got so much word in you. You hide it in the word. How could you be hiding it in the word? The word was made before you was even born. But yet you get higher in the word. You get puffed up because, like you said, you giving money to folks that are drug dealers, not even drug dealers, but they bewitching you, chasing them. You supposed to chase the word. The word is Jesus Christ. You're not chasing the word. You chasing out a unfangled. And so once you get caught up, then you say, well, I should have knew. You knew. You just was bewitched. You was caught up in the you know, not take this out of character, but, you know, that's like how they get the women to go out and prostitute. They suave with their words, and they taking us Christians. But he said even elect would be fooled. So, you know, if elect can be fooled, then. But I love the way you gave the word. Because the Bible is an instruction that you don't fall into temptation, that you don't fall out of God, that you don't follow after image. We don't supposed to be like Egypt. Mm. Egypt was making some. So I appreciate you, Apostle. You well put that thing together, man. And the
I
world
appreciate
needs
you, man.
Because this, I gave my life to Christ, man. When I gave my life to Christ, it was basic Christ. And I, you know, and you put it as an, you know, apostolic. I was, you know, never, I titled myself, but Jesus was apostolic. He was, the apostles was apostolic. They preached the word. They didn't sugarcoat the word. They preached the word. And any time that prophet was going fast, if it wasn't about Jesus Christ, then it was idolatry. And that's what
that's
we
right.
have. We got now. If you look at it now, a lot of prophets, they fighting among the prophets and prophets. They fighting among each other. How is that? That's not in the body of Christ. He said, "Who be who?" And that's in the word. And we don't look at the word. We go over the word, but we don't the word. We read it, but we don't meditate on it. He said in the Bible, "Who be with you?" You can't say in the last days. You can't blame it on this person, blame it on that person. He said, "Who be with you? How can you be so God that you don't understand? That means you don't have the Holy Ghost." So we need to get the Holy
my
Ghost.
God.
Man, you put that thing together,
come on,
man. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you so much.
Apostle Dietrich.
Appreciate you.
Would you pray for this brother right here? God is launching him on a new level in ministry, in his own personal entrepreneurial areas. And us as brothers, I just know, I've already prayed. I know God is speaking. Could you pray over this man of God as he takes over the realms of Wisconsin and continue to move? It's about to get cold up there, so he needs a lot of prayer. So everybody out there, continue to pray for Wisconsin, but intentionally on this new journey that God is about to catapult him in because of his faith. Touch that.
Amen. Father, we just thank you. We bless you for this
thank
man
you.
Of God over
yes.
in the Midwest and Wisconsin.
Yes.
We pray that your divine
yes.
will be revealed and give him the strength
yes,
to drink the cup. Father, thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
The regional, oh God, transitions
yes,
that you're going to place him in.
Yes,
surround
Lord.
Him by those people, places, and things that will bring advancement to your kingdom, repentance to men's hearts, and deliverance from those that are bound. But Father, I thank you
yes,
and I bless you for the anointing on his life. I thank you for increase
yes,
in favor. I thank you right now for allowing your will to be done in his life. And we
yes,
pray it, we believe it. And we decree it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Done.
Amen.
Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
Bless you, man of
amen.
God.
Thanks again
bless
for listening, brother.
No, all the time. I need more wisdom. More wisdom. So you got that wisdom, I gotta get it.
Amen. Amen.
Oh yeah. This is my time to sit back and I got my notebook. Y'all just don't know who we are on such agreement. I love to study and to listen to like-minded believers, especially my brother. This is my brother. For
that's
somebody I've never met personally,
to...
I can tell you that this is like my brother. I mean, I don't have a physical brother. And there's other guys out there, James Hudson and Pastor Dwayne and Minister Sir Ryan. But this brother here, we like cut of the same cord because – every time I listen to him, and I know when we listen to each other, it's just such confirmation that God can do it, and we can be in agreement when we study the Word of God. You can't go wrong with the Word of God. I continue to tell people, if you want a sermon, preach the Word of God. Don't write a big, long essay. Preach the Word of God. If you don't know what to pray, open the Word. Pray the Word. If you need a solution, study the word. If you need to know how to go to the next level of starting a business with no money, go to the word of God and see how he's
cool.
already set all the standards there for us. And we must utilize the word of God. Repent. That's my biggest word for the rest of this season of 2017. I don't care who you are, what your title is and what you think you repent. Because I can guarantee you there's some things you overlook. I can guarantee you there's some things you thought were forgotten, and you just let it go. Don't let it go. Repent. Go with a clean slate unto God and watch him start to really move on your life because of your sacrifice. Oh, my God.
Amen. My God. Thank you, Lord.
You got me. Look, you got me over here. Don't let's not start tag team tonight because we'll be preaching all night up in here, and I know the man of God has many great things that he's doing in there. Apostle D, God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, dial one. We still got a couple more minutes. Don't miss next month, November 1st, that first week, Monday of next month. And then God, after that, the journey is now going to another level. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I bless you, man of God. Any closing remarks? What you got going on out there in the circuit? Where you going to be at? I know you're on the East Coast, Georgia. I know you're going to be in Florida. Come on, let's get those dates and those events that people down there can connect with you. God bless you, Pastor Dwayne.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's you.
Okay. Next week, or this week coming up, I'll be in Valdosta, Georgia. Valdosta, Georgia, doing the 5GN campaign. It's the 5 Grace Network campaign. We're going to be teaching on the fivefold ministry, developing and deploying new fivefold ministry leaders, and bringing strength and encouragement and upgrade to the seasoned ones that are already in the area. So we're going to be doing that on October 6th through October 7th. All of the events that I'll be ministering are free and open to the public. It's going to be at 320 South Augustine Road in Valdosta, Georgia. We're going to have Joshua Johnson from Atlanta, Georgia. My good friend, Evangelist Tammy Roberts from Valdosta, Georgia. Apostle Robert Fulton, Valdosta, Georgia. And Apostle Barry Williams will be along with us as part of our Apostolic Presbytery, our Talk to the Hand panel. He's from Tifton, Georgia. I'm excited about this event. Yeah, we did 4 states so far. This is our 4th state. We've been in Pennsylvania. We've been in Indiana. We've been in North Carolina. Now we're heading on down to Georgia. So I'm excited about it. October 13th through the 14th. Having a sexual healing campaign, Restoring Adam. This is basically a campaign that's geared towards any types of sexual addiction, pornography, masturbation, learning and understanding how sexual immorality has infiltrated the church. We really have to deal with this sex demon entering in the church, and we can't be afraid to teach on these things. So we got a sexual healing campaign coming up. My good friend, Octavia Stanley out of Kentucky. She's coming up to see. We're going to blast some devils together. I can't wait. Friday night, we're going to be doing a panel talking about sex and the church. Kingdom Kinkiness, part 1. That's from 7 to 9. Saturday, the 14th, we're doing the second part of the Q&A, which is going to go on Facebook Live with Objectum Sexuality, a Sexless Society. We're going to be talking about that. Then I'm going to be doing a teaching on sexual transmitting demons that are designed to infiltrate sex into the body of Christ. And my good friend is going to be teaching on flattery and seduction. So you don't want to miss that. That's October 13th and 14th. Then my good friend is having a pastoral appreciation over in Indianapolis. It'll be my good friend, Apostle Benjamin Moore with Empowerment Church. I'll be there at on the 29th, actually the 26th through the 29th, and the 30th of October, the end of October. And then the third weekend, I'll be in Lake City, once again, a financial freedom conference over at 716 East Duval Street. We got some heavy hitters coming in from Africa, some people coming up from Georgia, from over the Midwest, from the West Coast. We're going to be talking about financial freedom. So I'm excited. I'm going to be busy all this month on the road, back and forth. And to pray my strength in the Lord, if you want to know more about my ministry, you can find it at www.kairosinternationaltc.org. KairosInternationalTC.org. KAIROS International. T is in time, C is in cat, .org, Kairos International, TC.org. Or you can look at me up in my product line, Apostolic Author, ADLG.com. Apostolic Author, all one word, ADLG.com. You can look me up on Facebook, Dietrich Gaskins. Not Dietrich Haddon, I'm Dietrich Gaskins. Hallelujah. You inbox me if I got too many people. On my Facebook page, for you to get in there, just hit me on the inbox and I'll talk to you. And I thank you so much for your time. Also, looking for my next book release, animal spirits and guides. Animals still speak. It's a composition of apostolic and prophetic teachings that's going to bring clarity to the body of Christ concerning how spirits operate and mimic animals to infiltrate your life. So I'm definitely, this is one that's going to be a bestseller for me. I'm really excited about it. It's a collection of apostolic prophetic teachings that bring revelation from the spirit realm on how to use animals and creatures of the Bible to help identify the operations of demonic spirits. So this is going to get deep on you. So we're going to have.
And if you want to, if you want a preview, you can go on Apostle Dietrich's Facebook page. He's letting a couple of those teachings out that are really dynamic about knowing what to be prepared for. We perish for a lack of knowledge, but you know, we're taught to be reactive instead of proactive. Teachings like what we do here on the network, what we do here connected with Apostle Dietrich, is to get you ready for the battle that's coming. It's no doubt it's coming. There's no doubt. The Bible says that he is seeking such to devour, and I believe he's like a roaring lion. So we need to be more prepared, and we need to stay connected. Don't believe that there's not other people that can help you that study. When we study together, we can confirm and really go to another level. Man, God bless you. Man, I appreciate you. I can't even, there's not a word that can explain or express what God did today when we had that conversation, and here we are today. I'm blessed. Amen. I'm a new man. So if you needed one, and that's all we need. If you needed one, you got it, because that's me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bless you, man.
Well, I thank you again,
family.
Man.
God bless you guys.
You.
Join us tomorrow for Man Up the Movement with Apostle Marvin Prevost out of West Virginia. He's our guest host on Man Up the Movement tomorrow. That's every first Tuesday of the month that the Lord has opened up these doors to just bring on like-minded believers. Join us tomorrow. There's another prophetic war going forward. And follow my brother, Apostle Dietrich Gaston, wherever, any of those areas that we can. If you didn't get it, listen to the archives or give me a message, connect with me, and I'll connect you into his inbox that you guys can communicate. As I said again, God bless you. Know that you are loved. Know that you are appreciated. Know that you are honored. But most of all, know that you are beautifully made by God. I don't care what anybody ever told you. You are God's greatest miracle. Don't let another negative word go into your ear gates. Don't let another negative person come into your arena. Don't let anyone that doesn't have the love of God in them to share with you have a part of your life, and watch, your whole life could change immediately. God bless you. Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.